Evening. Oh, yeah. Let me turn that on real quick. How's that?
We good?
All right. Amen. Well, I am fighting a voice issue. So Wednesday last week, I came down with a cold. And colds last a couple days, but this one lingered so badly that I didn't think I was going to be able to preach on Easter Sunday. And anyway, the Lord gave me just enough to preach on Sunday. Amen. But yeah, I gave it everything that I have. I had no voice. Monday morning, woke up, had nothing. Tuesday, a little bit. So here we are, Thursday. And so I appreciate the brothers bringing me some tea, some hot liquid to kind of keep things loosened up. And I'm not preaching tomorrow, so I can use everything tonight. And looking forward. I appreciate your pastor, brother, Pastor Ruben Garcia. He's a friend of mine and known him since 1990-ish. And we were ordained together in the gospel ministry. He became the assistant over there at Treasure Valley. And I went off to North Dakota, started pastoring there. I was there for 12, 13 years. And then went to Hawaii to start a church. Thank you. Appreciate that. And so I am, some people have asked me, what are you? I'm nuts. Pastor, church planter, missionary. I kind of take all those titles to a degree. And we were a church planting missionary. And then once we got it going to a place where I could actually start pastoring the people, and then, you know, I just, I guess I assumed the role of a pastor over there. We've been there for a little over 10 years. And your church has supported me the whole time. And so I sure appreciate that. I appreciate the emails. I appreciate the prayers. Of course, the financial support. You guys have helped us with certain projects along the way. Thank you for that. It's very expensive in Idaho as well as in Hawaii. Things are, we're getting priced out of living there. It's just so crazy. The people that are raising kids can't afford to live there. And so they're moving to places that they can't afford. Or they're putting up illegal structures and just living in them, you know. We had a clinic in our, some of you are familiar with our Kona Vocational Program. How many of you are familiar with that? Okay, I think I've talked to you about that. That's doing really well. One of the projects that we did is we built sheds. And when we were building those sheds, we had a family that wanted one to live in. And they're 8x8. And they were going to put bunk beds in there and put them in the backyard and live in them. And so that's, it's just crazy over there. So I really appreciate you supporting our work, our church over there. We have a property that we lease from the state of Hawaii. And it's about an acre and a half. It's got tons of buildings on it. But they all are in lots of need of repair. And so we have a nursery that was off from one corner to the other corner by 6 inches. And if you know anything about framing, that's not right. It's, you know, the kids use, you know, they start crawling and they end up rolling to the other corner of the building. There's some guys from Treasure Valley that came out and helped us rebuild over there. The nursery did a great job. Jason Starner led that group up, as you know, and they did a fabulous job. And so we really appreciate your involvement. That is fruit to your account. You know, and those are good investments. You know, one day we're going to get to heaven, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim, and the things that will really matter in this life, as the brother was talking about, is those things that we've done for the Lord Jesus. And it's easy to forget that. We get so ingrained in what's going on around us here on this earth, and our aches and our pains and our financial woes and our family matters, and all those things are significant. But those are all fleeting things. They're all fleeting things. And so, as the brother was preaching, I the Lord brought one thought to my mind before we get into our text. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. I too am reading through Samuel and 1st, 2nd Kings and getting through all of that. And I'm looking around here, and one of the things I just wanted to say, if you're over 50, how many of you are here over 50 years of age? Over 50. Okay, I would say that's over 50% of the people here, okay? Maybe closer to 70%. just an observation. There are two ways of looking at life the older we get. And the natural way is to kind of take our ease. But there's some danger in that. And you read the life of Solomon. Solomon was a great man of God. He started out that way. And he did some amazing, his heart was toward God like David, his father. David could not build a temple, but he supplied everything that Solomon needed. And he instilled in her a desire to do something marvelous for the Lord. Solomon, as he was building this wonderful temple, of course, he built his place and all of that, building an amazing structure. God gave him the wisdom, and God gave him even the love for people. When the queen of Ethiopia came and visited him, she marveled not just at his wisdom, not just what he built, but even the way that the people around him that served him, how happy they were. And then over time, what happened was he got done with his building project. He was like, what's my purpose here? But, you know, I've worked at John Deere now for 35, 40 years. I'm looking at retirement, you know, I'm looking at these things. And Solomon began to retire from the work of God. And what happened is other things began to take his heart, and he began to go after those other things. And it turned his heart away from God towards other gods. Now, we don't serve those gods, but we can easily serve other gods apart from God. Anything that takes the position and the power and the preeminence of the one true God is another god. And it's so easy to begin to allow your heart to go after those things. So can I encourage you as 50-plus year olds, do not retire from the work of God. Just because, you know, you're done with maybe some things here at the church, you're not teaching here anymore, continue to look for ways for God to use you at this stage of your life. Amen. Amen. Even the children of Israel, as they, you know, they took their ease. The church at Laodicea, you know, it increased with goods and had need of nothing. There's so many dangers as we get older in life to kind of just settle in and not take a real spiritual approach to our future. Rather just more, or, and there's nothing wrong with golfing or sightseeing or traveling and going and seeing the grandkids. Enjoy that. I'm planning on that. But don't forget that God placed you here for some other things as well, to serve him, amen? And there's some unique things that God can use you. You look at Simeon and Anna, when Mary took Joseph and the baby to the temple, they were still old, and they were still being used of the Lord to do some amazing things there in the temple, working and serving. And there's always things to be done, need to be done at the church. Come early, walk around the church building, look for gum in the gravel. I mean, there's things to do. Amen? I mean, why is it the pastor is the one that's always looking for gum in the gravel? Sometimes I'll put little things around the building just to see if people will pick it up. I'm baiting them. I want to see where their heart is. You know, there's a lot of ways to serve the Lord. Missions Conference is probably one of the most important meetings of the year. And there's a number of reasons for that. And you might think that statement is because I'm a missionary. But that's partly true. But the reason it's true is not because I'm a missionary. I think that missionaries become missionaries because it's important to them before they become missionaries. And that is, they have a love to getting the gospel to people. And that's a universal thing for all of us here tonight. And missions is important. And of course, there's different ways of looking at missions, both from a global standpoint, but also a local standpoint. You're growing. You're in a very growing community here. God is bringing people to you. You can look at it that way. Or you can gripe and complain, and this place is getting so crowded, and people are around me, and I don't know if I like it here anymore. No, God's bringing you the mission field.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love missions. I'm grateful, Pastor DeMichael, who is my pastor. He promoted missions, and it put that interest in my heart. And we went on missions trips, and we saw places and saw people and realized that our world where we live is just a small little speck compared to what's going on around this place and this globe. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. But sometimes missions can feel so huge, so impersonal, so impossible. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It seems so out there in some ways. And so tonight I want to preach a short message, but very direct toward you on how to make missions personal to you. How to make it personal to you. You know, one of the first groups of people in the New Testament that became missionaries are here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 13. The church is established. It's here in Antioch. And you find some peculiar individuals, just all very quite unique, serving God, and God begins to move them to missions. And I want to point out some things about this idea of making missions personal to you as an individual. Acts chapter number 13. Excuse me. Acts 13, verse number 1. Now there were in the church, in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and some of these names you'll recognize, Barnabas, you know who he is, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. All right, and so some of these were prophets, some of them were teachers, and some of them were to be missionaries. Okay, the first thing that I want you to understand this is that they're just people. They're people. Now, I would say that Paul was an intellectual. Paul was an educated man. Paul was a little bit different than the typical man, per se, like Peter, the Simon Peter, the fisherman, right? But these are just people. Missions is about people. It's about creating a desire for missions conferences, is a desire to place an interest in the lives of other people, and that is through getting them the gospel. And I want to point out a couple things about people. People are all the same, no matter where you go. There's different cultures, but everybody has problems. I was just here at today I got a haircut. I don't even know the name of the barbershop. I just got dropped off, got a haircut. I was getting a haircut. This gal is a man, you've been out in the sun a little bit. It's like, yeah, I guess, you know. She's getting my hair, and I guess the back of my neck is a little darker than some of them. And she says, are you from around here? I said, no, I lived in Spokane for a little while. I lived in Worley. You guys know where Worley, Idaho is? Lived there. My dad was a pastor down there in the reservation for a while. And so I've lived around here, but I live in Hawaii. She said, oh, wow. And this gal, she's got earrings all over the place, you know, and you know, which is not a big deal. I see that, you know, whatever. But I'm not necessarily associating her as a Christian, per se. And she said, well, what took you to Hawaii? I said, well, I started a church over there. Really? She says, what's that like? Well, it began this conversation. Come to find out, this gal had just gotten saved. And she is struggling getting through the first book of the Bible. And it was almost like, you know, Philip, and the Ethiopian eunuch, he's like, how can I know this unless some man should tell me, you know, and show me? And so here she was. She was basically like, how can you help me get through the Bible, understand some of these things? And it's like, there's needs everywhere. And so she's pregnant. She's worried. Her name is Kyla. What's the name of that place? The Man Shop. I swear we got my hair cut. I don't even know where that's, somewhere around here. And so I told her I'm going to try to help get her some stuff. She's pregnant. She's going to be due in September, and I'd like to help her with. She's just worried. She's got to quit her job, and her husband works in Spokane, doesn't have enough money to support them as a family. And I was able to sit there with her and give her some promises out of the Word of God that God will take care of them. I gave him some stuff about parenting and raising children. She's worried, first baby, don't know how to do it. And it's just ministering to people. It's just loving people. It's just being involved in people's lives. Amen. That's it. Amen. Simple.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a story, man.
Yep. Right.
Missions is about people. And where missions involved, people are involved. And you got all these guys, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and Saul. And what a crazy group of guys, so different from one another. And missionaries and pastors are all so different from one another. You got the old missionaries and you got the young missionaries. I mean, we're all so different. That was a joke. I've been to different missions fields and visited different missionaries, and just some of them have a little different personality. Some of them have different interests. We're all a little bit different. All pastors, all churches are a little bit different. Amen? But we have the same desire and the same goal, and it's just to reach people. Just people. And you'd be surprised how many people are more receptive than what you think if you just give them the time and the opportunity to give them the gospel. Here they're all bunched together, both prophets and teachers and missionaries in different roles, but they're all working together. But they had one thing in common. If you look at verse number 2, it says that they ministered to the Lord and fasted. These guys were already involved in the work of God. And boy, it's everybody here should be involved in the work of God in some way. Ministering to the Lord, coming early. I remember before I was ever a pastor, a bunch of us guys on our missions conferences or any preaching meeting or whatever, we would go upstairs into an upper room and we just get together and we pray. Just pray. We pray for the preacher, we pray for the meeting. And there was always things to do, ways of ministering to one another, ministering to the pastor, finding out. I remember picking them up from the airports, taking over to Sherry's, having a milkshake, and just picking their brain, just talking and trying to love on them and get some help from them. And these guys here, these guys that we just read about, listen, they're serving not because there's money involved. They're not serving because the pastor gave them a title. The Bible says that they're just giving of themselves. They're giving of their time. They're giving of their talents. They just want to be involved in the work. And boy, I'll tell you what, wouldn't it be neat to see some missionaries go out of this church? Yeah, and you're looking for those people that are already serving, they're already involved, already praying, getting in touch with God and what God wants them to do. I think about some of my peers out of Treasure Valley that went out to the mission field, Mark Garrison, Peter Putney, Chad Wells. You guys probably know some of these guys. Dennis Wells. All of them very different, one from another. Different than me. I'm different than them, but we're all brothers, and we all grew up, and we all have a desire to do something for the Lord. It's exciting. It's all exciting. So what kind of a person is a missionary? What kind of a person is a pastor? First, it just starts out with people just loving God, serving God where they're at. That's where it all begins. I remember some of the things that we did in our college and career group. We had a bus ministry, and we'd go out to Nampa, Idaho, and we would pick these kids up and bring them to church. Just having a heart for kids. I remember one particular little girl we picked up. Her mom was just a deadbeat mom. No dad in the picture. And most of the time, this girl had to get herself up. She was only 6 years old. And I remember one time, oh man, her hair was like out here. She had a princess dress on. You know, the kind you pick up at, you know, she probably was princess for Halloween. And she was just wearing that. She had her purple plastic high heel shoes on. And she had this plastic comb and it had some Disney character on it. Don't ask me who those princesses are. And then she's like, look at this. And she's showing, she could comb her own hair. She was filthy, not clean, filthy. And she wants to come to church. I pick her up. And I remember one time, go and knock on the door, and I heard noises, but nobody came to the door, so I kind of opened the door and peeked in, and there's her mom on the couch with some guy, and here she comes. I'm coming, Spencer, I'm coming. And she's coming out of there all by herself, and she's got her little blanket. She looks a mess, and I said, oh, we're so glad. We got her on the bus and did up her hair, or one of the girls did, and just people. It's just people. Missions is about people. And people that God uses like me, people that God uses like you, and what he wants to reach is just ordinary people that you come across all the time. I want you to notice something else, not just the people, but notice the prayer that was involved in verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I call them. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. And later on in verse number 4, you see that they prayed again. I think these were praying people, and prayer works. There's so much that God wants to do in your heart through prayer. Oftentimes we think of prayer just communicating to God, but prayer is more than that. I have a certain place I like to pray. It's in our garage. We have a little gym there, and I have a pad. And I play some music, and I lay down on that pad, and I'm all like laid down like this, and I just start thanking the Lord. I just start thanking Him for who He is, and I go through a couple things that I'm just appreciative of, and I begin to pray for my family, my boys and my girls. I begin to pray for our church, and as I'm praying, God begins to put things on my heart, other people that I need to be praying for, things that I need to do, and I'll write them down, and I try to stay focused. But God is working in my heart through prayer. He speaks to me about what to preach here. He begins to move me to do certain things. And of course, I don't want to get spooky and all that about the way that God, you know, works in my heart. But there's something supernatural that goes on as we're praying to the Lord. We're getting along with Him. We're talking to Him, and we're wanting Him to talk to us. And I think these were praying men. They're putting their lives on the line. They don't know what missions is all about, but they're starting. And they're spending that time in prayer. Missions gets real personal when you begin to put your own prayers into the work. Knowing what those missionaries need. Knowing what your pastor needs. Praying for your community. When your prayers are involved, then missions gets personal to you. The Moravians, if you're familiar with the Moravians, the Moravian missionaries, 1727, they started praying on August the 13th, and they pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 100 years. And within the first 27 years, they sent out over 100 missionaries from their group. They prayed. They prayed. How often do you pray, God, send me? How often do you pray, God, send my kids? That's hard sometimes. But prayer works, and God blesses prayer. Notice not only the people and the prayer, but notice the parting here in verse number 2. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And sometimes we make missions something other than what it ought to be because we're not really wanting to be a part of the parting process. We don't really accept it or allow God to work in us in this area of missions because of the dedication that it might require. Meaning, I don't really want to go there. I don't want to separate from my kids, my grandkids. I don't want to. That parting can be tough. There's no way around it. It's tough. But I'll tell you what, God is really good. And what I mean by that, it's not a cliche phrase, is that when you get away from family and it hurts, God kind of comes in there. Yeah. And He does something special in your life. We've been separated from our family since 2001, North Dakota for about 13 years, and then several years over here in Hawaii. You know, I do have my brother working with us over there, which is a blessing. But away from people that you're familiar with, people that are even a church that you love, and all these types of things. The parting is kind of tough. Paul had a group of guys that he loved. He had a church, but he left. And you know what? It didn't get any easier for him being on the road. Being stoned and whipped and a night and a day in the deep and all the stuff that he went through. It wasn't easy. The parting was not fun either. Missions becomes personal, especially when we have loved ones that part. And missions becomes personal when we're willing to allow ourselves to part, to leave, to go where God's called us. We're willing to do that. And really, honestly, we should all be willing. Missions can get real personal when we say, Lord, send me. I don't think you're calling me, but I'm willing to go. When you take that step, you're willing for God to do that in your life, and it gets real, real fast. Okay, verses 4-8. Look at the problems and the places that they face. Verse number 4, so that they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer and a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius of Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas, the sorcerer, For so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This is just when they're first starting to get started here. They already have some problems. And part of the problems on the mission field that we face is both internal problems and external problems. There are problems within the church. There are problems without the church. And there's just going to be problems. There's always there's problems in families. There's problems in churches. That's just the way it is. The church is a family. You know, you're going to have issues. It's just part of it. And we got to grow together. You got to stick and stay and make it pay. Amen? Lately, we've had a few people that just get their, how can I say it nicely? They've gotten a little, their dander off a little bit. And then when I confront them about it, you know, I hear that they're leaving. You know, the very issues that they're dealing with, we could have dealt with them and handled them. But they dealt with it like children. I say, if you would have handled this in a marriage, you would have got divorced years ago if you handled it the same way. Thing is, we don't like confrontation, but oftentimes confrontation is the best way to handle a situation. In fact, David's earthly life would have been so much easier had he dealt with the problems in his family. He was non-confrontational to the very end, and then he gave it off to his son Solomon to deal with his stuff. This is a problem. But anyway, Paul had his problems. He had his issues. And so does Barnabas. And some of those things were external, but some of them were also internal. If you look at verse number 13, it says, when Paul and his companion loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. This is one of their helpers, you know? And so they're getting confronted by people that don't want them there. Get out of here. And they withstood them, and they knew that was going to happen. But now he's got men that are on his team that are abandoning him. That's pretty tough. It's part of it. It's part of it. Problems and the different places that they went to. You know, it was interesting because the very first place they went was only 15, 20 miles away. Seleucia. And it doesn't say much about that place. And then they went on to Cyprus, and that was another couple days' journey. And so mission fields are not always just to the ends of the world. Sometimes they're across the street. You know, you got Rathdrum. You got, I don't know all the towns around here. I've forgotten most of them. But you got towns around here. You got places to minister. I'm not sure how many towns are from Libby to would you call this Hayden area? And, you know, you probably got a few towns between here and there. And there's things to do. There's people to reach. There's, you know, there's opportunities. This, in 2 weeks, we're going down to the, we have a Higashihara Park. And a lot of Micronesians hang out there, almost exclusively. And Micronesians usually cluster in their housing situations. They're coming from Micronesia, and they come to Hawaii because they can get a little bit better pay, and then they send their pay back home. But they know how to live with less. They live in a way where you would not be comfortable. Your wives would not tolerate it, most likely. They'll have five generations living in a three-bedroom house, and it's the way they can afford rent. And they live with very, very little. Well, because of that and the cluster, they like to get out. And one of the places they like to go is they go to parks and they take over. You know, here comes a family of 30 and another of 30, you know. Here they come and they're like, hey, what's going on, you know. And they're like taking over all the barbecue area and they just, you know, they take over. So we're going to go to that park on a Saturday afternoon and we're going to, and they don't have much. And they'll eat anything. In fact, they eat everything. We're going to have hot dogs, which is like, you know, steak. And we're going to free food. We're going to put a sign out, free food. And we're going to have a little table set up there where they get their condiments. We're going to have little baggies for the kids with coloring books. But they're Christian coloring books, you know. And it talks about Christ's love for them and how to get saved. And we're going to have some church invites. And more than half of them speak English. And so there's an opportunity to minister there. And that's just right down the road. That's right down the road. And so there are places that can be close by, just like the first place that they stop. And there are places that they witness to that were way beyond. And sometimes that's where missionaries come in place. Now, it's us, you know. You guys can't go to Hawaii all the time, so I'm going to represent you over there. I'm going to try to work with those people, see if we can get some of them saved. And by the way, we just had two people saved on Sunday. Amen. And it doesn't happen every week. I wish it would. And, you know, I my voice was horrible. My thoughts were all over the place. I was not feeling good. I was feeling horrible. I took my notes, I threw them out. I just started preaching. And you know what? God still blessed his word despite the preacher. You know, and I guess that's what it says, you know, that there's power in the preaching of the word of God, right? And sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on the, you know, the outline and the enthusiasm and the preparation, and all that's important, but it's the power of God's word that saves. And so it did. We had my neighbor, Brent, and his son, his 16-year-old son, they both came. Pray for his wife. She's a Hispanic, and she is not saved. She came out of Catholicism, and so she's very careful about her next step. She doesn't want to be misled again. And so the good news is that we're starting discipleship in 2 weeks. Once I get back and I'm feeling great and I got a good schedule, and she wants to be part of that discipleship class. That's my neighbor right down the road. So these places for us to make missions personal can be close to us. Amen? They're all around us. They're all around us. And I appreciate the fact that you've allowed me to represent you over there. And so there was problems, there was places. But the last thing that I want to call your attention to is verse number 13. This is it, we're done. The prize. What is the prize of missions? Well, we could say it's the glory of God. It's to magnify him in places. But I want you to see this in verse number 12. It says, when the deputy, when he saw what was done, what's the next word? Talking to Brent, I'm not against the sinner's prayer. I just don't do it very often. I am more of, let me take you through all this Bible, make sure you fully understand the gospel, and if you have any questions, answer those, and if you'd like to get saved, then get saved. That's normally my approach. But I felt led to give a prayer. I said, hey, the prayer is not what's going to save you. But I'm going to say some things in this prayer that are meaningful. And if you need them from your heart, God can save you. Amen. And I prayed that prayer, and I had three people raise their hand. That's amazing for us. Amen. And I said, I'm going to wait up here, and I would love for you to come up. Those that, I see your hands, come up. And the church service was over. People were, you know, just messing around. And I'm waiting. Nobody's coming. And then finally, one of the gals that came up, she's a politician in our area, and her dad's Jewish. She says, I heard your prayer, I prayed that prayer, but I'm not sure if I understand that prayer. And her husband's saved, and he's been praying for her for a long time to get saved. And so I went through some things with her. She says, I'm not sure if I believe all that. I said, well, thank you for being honest. And I tried to explain some things to her, and she's still a little doubtful. I said, okay, well, keep coming. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep answering your questions. And I said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so I'm waiting. They take off. I'm waiting, waiting. Nothing. It's like, And then I see him. He hasn't left. Brent and his son. And I see him talking over there. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk over here. I walk toward the back of the church, and Brent, he goes, hey, my son's got some questions. I go, oh, what? Questions about what? He's like, hey, Pastor, I go to a Christian school, but I'm getting really influenced to do some bad things. I don't know how to say no. Could you help me with that? I said, sure. But I said, before we do that, didn't you and your dad, and I looked at Brent, didn't you raise your hand that you wanted to get saved? He goes, yeah. I said, okay, well, what's going on there? You didn't come up. He goes, yeah, we prayed and we wanted to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. He says, I've been wanting to do this for a while. And so it was just a natural step for him. It was no big deal. Like, yeah, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I said, well, what about your wife? She says, not quite. Okay. I said, well, can we talk about this up here and answer your son's question? He goes, yeah, please, let's do that. So we go up there and I start going through the gospel, making sure I get that they understand it. You know, I want them to understand it. There's a cost with being saved. And so he goes, oh, yeah, I wanted that. I prayed that. I believed that. I looked at his son. Yes, I've been wanting to do that as well. I said, okay. That was, well, I guess that's it. I mean, that's easy. It's easy to get saved, amen? It's easy. And so then I begin to answer all his questions about dealing with, you know, the flesh and dealing with these outside issues. And I take him over and I was talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and da-da-da-da-da. And as I begin to kind of close it all up, I began to talk to Brent. I said, how long have you known about the gospel? He says, I've heard this gospel for probably 30 years. He says, I just was never ready. He says, but my life and all the money I've made, I just feel so empty. He says, I know what you said about Jesus is the only one that can feel that. And he just started crying. His tears are rolling down. It's like, you know, the month before was really tough. We had a tough month at church. Had a couple families leave over things that were just stupid. And it hurts when you love your people. You pour yourself into people. You pray over these people. And then they make such a stupid decision. Not just because they left the church, but why? That's not even a good reason. That could have been avoided. And it hurt. Boy, I was hurt by that. You know, and then our people love them, and they're calling, why did you leave? And then it begins a gossip session. Oh, so it's like, this job is for the birds. That's what I was thinking. Be a greeter at Walmart would be easier than this. And then Brent and his son comes down, and they get saved. And the Lord's just like, this is what it's about. It's not going to happen all the time, but this is why you're laboring. Now, that's not the first time they came to church, and it was not the first time I dealt with them. It's taken a little bit of time. But the prize, to see people get saved, to see the light on, to see them get redeemed, to see them washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, become the children of God. Now they have hope. They got reason to live. They understand some of these things. And you get to disciple them and allow the Word of God to be a part of their life now. It's exciting, folks. There's nothing like it. Amen. The prize. Why do we do all this? And the expense and the time and all of that. So that souls will get saved. Christ will be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful tonight to be here. Thank you for these folks. We thank you for Paul and Barnabas being sent out by this church and for all the things that they went through. And they're a good example. And even to see John leave but come back and you work through his life. Lord, thank you for the church that got behind these guys and prayed for these guys and loved on these guys and supported them. And Lord, we thank you for missions. Thank you for allowing us to reach people in so many different ways and places around the world. Thank you for the missionaries that have given up so much and going to these remote, dangerous places and serving the Lord in those areas. Lord, we thank you for those missionaries. Thank you for the churches that have given and prayed. Lord, they haven't sat back and just send a check, but they're involved in the lives of those people. Thank you for those churches. Thank you for the pastors that have a heart to make missions a part of their church's program. To make it not just a program, but really a heartbeat of the church. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus, who died on the cross. He left everything so that we could have everything. He gave everything up so that we could possess all things. And he laid down his life so that we might know what life is all about. He truly is the great missionary. So, Lord, we are grateful for what you've done in our life. Thank you for allowing us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, for giving us the ministry of reconciliation, to be able to have something of substance to tell people beyond politics, beyond, you know, the local gossip, something with some substance that can radically change the lives of people. Thank you for giving us this ministry and this hope. We love you, Lord. We pray you bless the remainder of this mission conference and all that you're going to do in it, and the hearts that will be challenged and changed. Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.